Hey folks, this is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are and whatever part of the day you're in. I sure do appreciate you joining me, giving me a little bit of your time and effort. Those of y'all that continue to come back, episode after episode, I'm very grateful. For those of y'all who share the podcast with others, I tell them about it, help it to grow. Thank you so much. I'm humbled by that and grateful for it. Hopefully I can give y'all a few extra tools for your toolbox, as we used to say in the Marine Corps. And hopefully we help our country, even if just a little bit. Sorry, my brain's kind of scattered this morning. I've got two or three things that I want to try and get done on this podcast, and I should have written them down one by one. I'm afraid I'm going to forget them. Homestead, not a lot. Got a little rain. Excuse me. A little more in the forecast, too. Which is always good. It has delayed progress on the Duck Palace, as my father is calling it now. I think that's a shot, but I'm not real sure. At any rate, we'll see if we can get back to work on it if the rain lets up a little bit. And if not, so be it. It's a good day to get a little work inside done, perhaps. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love, mercy, grace. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, again, Father. Thank you for the people that listen to, share this podcast, be with them and their families. Guide us, Lord, bless us, protect us, surround us with your angels. Give us assurance, strengthen our faith. Guide our relationships, Lord, whether it's friendships, relationships with parents, with children, with our spouses if we're married. Help us to choose our words and our actions wisely. Help us to surround ourselves with people of good character and to be one of those people for others. Soften our hearts. Show us what path you want us to take and give us the wisdom and courage to take it. And turn our nation back to you, Father, please. And guide my words here. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to try and remember each of these things that I wanted to get done today. And maybe the fact that I'm struggling to remember them is God telling me that I don't need to try and get all of them done. We'll see. Okay, the very first one is an interview, and look, I've said this before on the podcast. I'll start with myself. Some of y'all that have listened to the podcast for the last almost 3 years know that I'm not perfect. I make some mistakes. I try as hard as it is for me in my human state to acknowledge those mistakes when I make them and to fix them, repent of them and fix them as I can. I'm not even perfect in that, and y'all know it, and I'm grateful for your patience. But just because somebody's not perfect doesn't mean we can't get some good information out of them. If that was true, if you could only get information out of perfect people, then the only person that we could look to is Jesus Christ. Maybe that's the point. Maybe that's really what we ought to be doing. But I think it's pretty apparent through the Bible itself and just through experience and life that we see that God puts other people on our path to help guide us. Might be a brief time, might be a long time, just depends. And so what we do is with those imperfect people, and some are more or less imperfect, they're not all the same despite what the modern narrative is. As my pastor from high school told me, you take the good and you leave the bad. And so these two gentlemen I'm going to mention real quickly, if you don't like them, that's fine. I'm not asking you to like them. If you do, that's fine. That's great. But there's some really powerful words. This is an interview between Tucker Carlson and Doug Wilson. Doug Wilson is a pastor somewhere. I really haven't heard much about the man, to be honest, folks. I'm not vouching for either one of these men as examples of Christian men or their lives or anything. But Doug Wilson has a little segment. I think it's maybe the first 8 to 10 minutes of the interview. And Tucker's asking him, what is Christian nationalism? You know, that's become pretty hot today. It's become a tool that the left is really trying to use to browbeat Christians. And so they go back and forth for a few minutes, but the great point, folks, the necessary point, the thing that we have to understand today that Doug Wilson lays out, and if you get a chance, go listen to just a little bit of this interview, is he says, look, we're not going to save our country with a particular politician. Doesn't matter, right? I say that on the podcast all the time. Trump, Biden, you pick it, whoever, whatever senator, representative that you think is just phenomenal, they're not going to save us. No political party, neither political party is going to save us. The only thing that is going to save us is as a people turning back to the gospel of Christ, our founding faith and principles, because that's what our nation was founded on. That's the only way she can function. In fact, we're going to talk about a quote from John Adams in a few minutes that lays that out back at the very beginning of our country. And that's the whole point, folks. The politicians, the policies, the parties are just a reflection of us. And so if you really want to save America, if God's going to give us any hope of that, if we have any chance of that, we have to get back to being a God-fearing, Christ-following, Bible-reading people. That's it. That's the whole thing. So if you get a chance, go listen to a few minutes. It's just that, I think it's just the first like 7 or 8 minutes. And man, it's just that comment is spot on. Spot on. The second thing, I don't know if we're going to get to the third thing today. The second thing that I wanted to go through today is I had a listener who has listened to the podcast almost since its inception, I think, definitely for a couple of years. And they have been one of the kindest, most supportive, encouraging, consistent voices for me over the last few years. Just almost seems on a daily basis sometimes that they are giving me some kind of kind, encouraging feedback on the podcast. And I'm not going to throw them under the bus because I'm concerned that there's some people out there that listen to the podcast that might use it as a tool to be unkind and unjust. But this wonderfully kind individual who will know real quickly who they are asked a question about a podcast that we did, I don't know, maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And in it, we were talking specifically about a work by Cotton Mather. And I found a version online of this work that we talked about, and it involves basically the history of New England from 1620 until the end of the 17th century, right? Like 1698, give or take. And it's a very long series. I think 7 volumes in the original, 700 or 800 pages in the original. And it was this edition, at least the first American edition. Well, the London edition was from 1702. I think the first American edition was published in 2 volumes in 1820. It's a pretty expensive book. It's not in publication anymore. You can find a PDF of it. You can still find a hardback out there, but you're probably going to pay a few hundred dollars for it. And I just happened to be scanning through the preface to this American edition, and I want to read something. We talk about it often. I wouldn't have stumbled across it if this, again, wonderfully kind, encouraging person hadn't asked the question. Y'all give me some really great feedback sometimes, and this happened to lead me down a little path, and I stumbled into something. And so I'm going to read, if you'll bear with me, it's just the first page, just a couple paragraphs, actually, of the preface to this edition, this first American edition that was printed in 1820. And this is a history. It's called An Ecclesiastical History of New England from its first planning in the year of 1620 until the year of our Lord 1698 by the Reverend and learned Cotton Mather, pastor of the North Church in Boston, New England. The publisher of this second edition of Dr. Mather's, oh, I can't pronounce that, folks. Let me see real quick. Magnalia. I think that's Latin. Sorry about that. Has long been sensible of the great demand for the work, both by literary men and all others who wish to be acquainted with the early history of our country. The first edition was published in London in the year 1702 in a folio volume of 788 pages. A considerable number of copies were soon brought into New England. Yet, as many of these are lost, and the work is not to be obtained in England but with difficulty, it has become very scarce. In some instances, it has been sold at a great price, but in most cases, those who have been desirous to possess or even to read the volume have been unable to procure it. The Magnalia is a standard work with American historians, and must ever continue to be such, especially respecting the affairs of New England. To this portion of our country, always distinguished for immigrations, a great part of the population of New York, the most important state in the American Confederacy, and of all the western states north of the Ohio, will always trace their origin. Nor will the lapse of ages diminish their respect for the land of their forefathers. The work now presented to the American public contains the history of the fathers of New England for about 80 years in the most authentic form. No man since Dr. Mather's time has had so good an opportunity as he enjoyed to consult the most authentic documents. The greater part of his facts could be attested by living witnesses, and the shortest tradition or taken from written testimonies, many of which have since perished. The situation and character of the author afforded him the most favorable opportunities to obtain the documents necessary for his undertaking, and no historian would pursue a similar design with greater industry and zeal. Really, the part I just wanted to read a couple paragraphs around. The part I wanted is that no American historian would ever, that it had to be a standard work with American historians and must ever continue to be such, especially considering New England and the beginning of our nation. The reason I thought that this was such an important, the reason it is such an important point, folks, is because we don't teach our kids. I think I said this in the podcast where we were talking, why don't we teach our kids? And now we send them to school from pre-K all the way to 12th grade. They have to stay there. They're there 8 hours a day, bare minimum, right? 7:30 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon. They're there for 10 months a year. So they've got them for 14 years, for 8 hours a day, for 10 months each year. And that's assuming that you don't get stuck in summer school. There's so many examples of works like this that are fundamental to the foundation of our nation, but we don't teach them this. Instead, we have teachers pushing LGBTQ lifestyles, fiction books. You can see it all across the country, folks. It's not hard. Just do a search online and you'll find another school that's trying to get those books into the hands of children. We continue to cut out sections of our history and replace it with narratives that are friendly to leftism, communism, socialism, and hostile toward God and Christianity and the truth. It's just amazing, folks. I mean, it's no wonder that we're losing our nation because we have stopped educating our children. Like children, and it doesn't matter whether you're a boy or a girl. Most of y'all that have listened to the podcast, you know, well, I won't even say that. It doesn't matter what your chosen profession is, what you do with your life. We need a basic understanding, a well-grounded understanding, more than basic, in the history of our nation, our republic. That's why it's so important. So many of these founding fathers talked about teaching the Bible, reading. You know, we just got done with a whole podcast on that. I feel like I'm not doing a very good job of explaining this, folks, and I apologize. That's my fault, not any indication of the quality of the work. And I want to say this real quick because I don't have much time left anyway today. We have some great, phenomenal educators out there, folks. Administrators, counselors, coaches in public schools. I've met them. I've talked to them a lot. The problem. And we have some horrible ones too. I'm not trying to say they're all great. Don't misunderstand me. But the problem is the system. The problem is the values. We're not centered on the Bible anymore. And there's a host of problems that come along with that. It goes back to that Horace Greeley quote again. It's impossible to mentally or socially enslave a Bible-reading people. And we don't teach our children that. Our founders desperately, they knew that whole last podcast I think it was the last podcast about the old deluder Satan law. Our founders knew that our children had to be raised with the ability to read and write, particularly to read the Bible and the laws of our country, so that they could not be deceived, because that was one of the key avenues of attack of the devil. We have got to get back to where we're teaching our children the Bible and using the public education system to teach them what is really important to our nation and to their lives. God bless y'all. God bless your families. God bless your marriages if you're married. God bless America. We'll talk to y'all again real soon, folks. Looking forward to it.